If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the very last chapter. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1644. Last week, I was, we had something of a little drama going on. I woke up in the morning and my world was spinning. You've had that vertigo kind of experience. And I thought, I always come. In 44 years, there has only been one occasion where I have had to miss a preaching Sunday. And this was shaping up to be one of those days. And so I took some antihistamine and tried to dry out my sinuses and all my ears, and nothing seemed to work. And so I came down. I was prepared to do it. Figured I'd just sort of croak out the message, and it would be persecution of the saints in terms of you trying to discern what I was speaking about with my world spinning around and me holding on to the pulpit. But Daryl stepped up, and I understand he hit a home run, and he took the passage and talked about the Jesus showing up and talking, being present with two guys who are walking down the road, and explaining his presence, and they were just stunned and amazed. And then he talked about the mission study that was going on. Well, this mission study, we're going to hear a little bit more about it even this morning, is something that is culminating into a document that reflects where the body of Christ is here. And I'm looking forward to seeing the final product. Okay, let's take a look at some of this passage. I was going to talk about the rest of the chapter, but there's just way too much even in some of the opening verses. In Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, it is a continuation of what happened with the message that was preached last week, where Jesus appears to two guys. They come to realize it was Jesus, a resurrected Jesus. They go on back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the guys what they had seen. And now picking up in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace! Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. Boy, try to figure out their mindset with that kind of comment. Then he asks them, "Hey, do you have anything to eat around here? This resurrection stuff makes me hungry." Is what I get from this. And they gave him a broiled fish. He took it and he ate it. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Okay, let's stop there. There's more, but there's plenty here. It starts off with this comment that the disciples, as many as could get together, were assembled there in Jerusalem, and they were debriefing each other. They were talking about these strange, remarkable, shall I say, unbelievable events that some of these disciples are seeing Jesus. When all of a sudden, it says in that verse, verse 36, that Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, just try to picture this. They're huddled like in one of our rooms here, or maybe in someone's house, and they're trying to understand what is going on. They're confused. And Jesus now appears among them. He doesn't walk through the door. He doesn't knock on the door. He doesn't do any of the normal things. He's there. And we can gather something from this. And that is that whenever disciples are gathered together, catch this, whenever disciples have assembled together, Jesus is present. He did that with the two guys last week. He's going to do it again with other groups and crowds as the scriptures will report about them. Jesus just appears. We can count on the fact that whenever you all are together, could be for choir, could be for Mary Max, could be, you know, for next Saturday. I saw the Ugandan tea is next Saturday at 11. There's a bulletin insert here. Wherever disciples are gathered together, Jesus is present. And so you want to hang around with each other. You know, you want to be with each other. Not exclusively. You want unbelievers, you want to be involved in the lives of those who are far from God. But whenever you are together, just assume that Jesus is present. Now, if Jesus is present, do you think that should make a difference in your conversations? Do you think it should? Well, it certainly gets a reaction with these guys. Look what it says in verse 37. They were startled, they were frightened, and they thought they saw a ghost. See, these people didn't believe that Jesus... Nobody believes that people come back from the dead. Nobody. It had never happened. Doesn't happen now. And they just, they do not have the mental grid to believe in the possibility that someone who has been, was crucified cruelly and then buried and now has been dead for more than 3 days, that they would see him alive. I mean, it just doesn't happen. They don't have that kind of experience that would receive that. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day, one of my police friends, and we were talking about spiritual things. It's remarkable how much spiritual things come up, actually questions. Oh, and the name of Jesus is in almost every conversation. You would be pleased, I'm sure. But this guy was talking and he said, you know, if Jesus would just show up and just talk to me and tell me something, then I would believe. And knowing that I was going to be preaching about this passage, I said, I don't think so. Because even the disciples who followed him for 3 years, saw him do all of his miracles, heard all of his teachings, saw the tangles that he got in with the authorities. When he showed up to them, showed them the whole prince in his hands and ate some food, they didn't believe. I don't think you... I said, John, I said, Officer Friendly, I don't think you would believe. He says, well, I can't tell you what he said, but he agreed with me. So these guys, see, this is why I believe the scriptures, that these scriptures are reliable reports of what actually happened. Because these people didn't believe it. If you wanted to have a pristine religion, you wouldn't include the sort of stuff of the foibles, of the weaknesses of people. And just looking at the reactions of these guys here, I think it's very realistic. It's authentic material. In verse 38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds?" Okay, Jesus is there. You would think the response would be, "Woo-hoo! Our guy won. Our guy came back. What he said was true." None of that. None of that happens. They introvert, and their doubts that have been there present all along now surface in the presence of Jesus. Jesus, the body language must be so obvious that even Jesus says, "Hey, look at my hands and my feet. It's me. It's really me. Touch me. Come here. Come on, guys. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." We had showed this to him about his hands and his feet, verse 41. They were still there and they didn't believe. They just didn't believe. Because. Now catch this. This is strange. Maybe you can explain it to me. They didn't believe because of joy and amazement. And so he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat? Have any of you been to In-N-Out Burger? Yeah. You got any good matzo around here? I'm hungry." Well, he hadn't eaten in 3 days. Really? So he's hungry. Now, this tells us something about the resurrected body of Christ and what our bodies are going to be like too. They're going to be physical enough to be touchable. They're going to be real enough, still authentic enough in terms of its biological processes, that we eat. That's going to happen in heaven. And yet, mysteriously, somehow or another, we're able to pass through walls and travel through time and talk to people. So they gave him some broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. So he's getting past this notion that he's a ghost. That he's some apparition of something mystical. No, this is a real person showing up right there in front of them. And he said to them, "This is all what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written in the law by the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." This is another characteristic that you need to be alert to in the presence of Jesus. That Jesus, wherever he moves among people, he's going to be consistent with the scriptures of Moses, the Old Testament, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Before I explain that little piece, I'd like to ask three elders to please join me, who have been working on the mission study. Elder John, Daryl. How about if you are up first? And the other two, Susan, if you join me. And I want you to speak about, for 1 minute, about what it's like for you to be writing the mission study and feeling the presence of Christ. Go ahead.
Let me begin at the beginning. The session asked me to put together a team to do this mission study. The last time we did a mission study, I happened to be on that team along with Susan Kester, and we took over 6 months to do this study. Our challenge was going to be to do this in about a month, because we've got to get moving. Well, we finished yesterday, and this journey has been amazing. I thought I was going to just find these people and just walk away. But as we had our first meeting, they said, "Oh, no, you're going to stay here and you're going to chair this committee." Okay. What a blessing this was. This team made up of Susan Kester, John Myers, David Stearns, and Daryl McCollum are the most wonderful people, not only in terms of talent, but in terms of the Spirit of God. And we had a journey that you will never believe. And God was with us every time we met. And I'm going to let somebody else tell you about some of the things that happened in our meeting that we knew that Jesus was with us from the beginning. And we got the job done. We got a little bit more to go, but we got the job done, but we could never have done it under our own power.
Okay, Gerald. How did you feel the presence of God?
It was very simple. I felt the presence of God each time I met with groups of people that were giving me input for the mission, vision, and value statement. To have a member of our congregation come up to me after the meeting and say, this is the first time they felt like they could actually say their opinions and not be, condemned for their viewpoints. For someone to actually tell me, I never thought anybody would ask me about what I thought the church should be. Those kinds of inputs were God showing up. It was God speaking through those people, saying to me that we're doing the right things by asking. Everybody that wanted to give input was welcome to give input on what they thought the church should be in 10 years. And it was just an amazing response. And I learned a lot about this congregation through the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, putting this together in the time we did couldn't have been done without the Holy Spirit. So that's where he showed up.
The Holy Spirit has indeed been with us as we've gone through this process. One of the requirements of doing a mission study is to summarize the history of the church. And it's been clear to me that Jesus has walked with this church for the last 134 years. And that's how long our church has been around. And he was here from the beginning when Pastor Duncan Monroe started the church in 1882. And he's, as I said, he is with us today, and he has helped us through the Holy Spirit complete this study.
Sharon, how you have felt the presence of God in the mission study?
Certainly. We've had discussions. We've had where people have said, the language is not quite right. And because of that, we have a better mission, vision, and value statement. We've consulted with the session and got their input. We consulted with you with the five questions. This has definitely been the spirit of the Holy Spirit working through all of us in a unified way, because that is what God represents.
So, Susan, the study now, a final study, a version of the study, goes to session for their approval. That'll happen in a couple, 3 weeks. And after that, I assume then the congregation will see the final product?
Yes. The process is that we will be presenting it to session and COM, Presbytery, COM, and then after that, the congregation will get to see it.
Very good. Thank you, folks, and then others who are also on the committee. Thank you for your hard work. You have been putting in an enormous number of hours in this project, and thank you. And one of the great gifts that any person can ever, ever have is the conviction, the clarity as to who they are. It's taken me a long time to figure out who I am, but I know. And I know what I'm good at. I know where I'm not good. I know what God wants me to do. I know when these opportunities here and there appear. That I know which ones I'm supposed to respond to and which ones I'm not supposed to respond to. The same is true for this congregation. I have to say that in review of the many, many documents of this congregation, there has been some ambiguity, some lack of clarity as to the direction of this congregation. Well, I believe that the Spirit of God has been leading these folks to give us discernment. And when they make the presentation to us, that it is going to be received with a hallelujah, amen. And it's going to be liberating for us. Because these statements, the conviction, this document, has been generated by what God has been speaking to you. And you're going to be the ones who are going to be resonating with the statements that you have made and that the Spirit of God has been helping these writers to discern. Well, let's close with verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. Boy, you've seen in your own life over the years how things that you were just ignorant of, you were blind to, you just couldn't understand, that over time some insight came to you, some revelation, some wisdom came to you, and your eyes were opened, and now you could see what was going on. We pray that for ourselves. And Jesus had to do a work of God in the minds of these disciples to have their eyes opened. So I'm going to pray that for us now. If you would please take your hands, put them on your forehead so that they cover your eyes, as if I were putting my hands on your forehead like this. And let me pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have a role in opening our minds, in giving us insight, revelation, of helping us to see the Scriptures as they apply to our lives and to this body and this congregation. Lord, I'm asking, please, you're the one who does this. Only you can do it. Now continue to give us insight into the work that you are doing among us, into this congregation, this body of Christ, where your Son Jesus is present. Lord, help us to see and to fall in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus is present, and I hope that when you make when you come here or when you're in a small group or something with other disciples, that you will just have the assumption, the conviction that Jesus is here.